Welcome to Switchfoot Song Stories, a fan-run and operated podcast, not affiliated with Switchfoot.
All right, my guest on the show this week is Erica Corbin, singer, songwriter, and author, and another artist that has been heavily influenced by Switchfoot in her life and career. Erica, welcome to Switchfoot Song Stories.
Hi.
Good to chat with you. This is episode 49 of the podcast already, which is pretty crazy, but I'm always looking for a different guest, and I actually found your profile when I was searching for Switchfoot covers online. Every once in a while, I'll get on there, I'll type it in. I just like to see people from all over the world, you know, covering Switchfoot and seeing if there's any stories that go with that, and came across your of Let Your Love Be Strong, which is, you know, the song we'll talk about in a few minutes here, but it was a beautiful cover. And then I saw, you know, you're in a band called One Way Lane. You also put out your own solo music. Tell us about your musical journey to this point.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much for having me on, and thanks for finding my cover. That's pretty cool because Switchfoot's been my favorite band for a long time. So when you reached out, I was like so excited. So yeah, I've been playing music since I was 14. Actually, Switchfoot was one of my earliest influences when I first started doing music. But now, like you said, we're in a band, One Way Lane. We travel the country full time, my husband and I, and we have five children. We live in an RV. And just this year, we started traveling with the band full time. And we go to churches and we do worship nights and youth camps and, you know, pretty much all the stuff. And it's just been these past 4 years living on the road full time has been a crazy, like, amazing journey, but also like a really intense, like, test of faith. So, I don't know how far back into my backstory you want me to go, but I'll try to keep it really short. We sold our home on the West Coast. We lived up in Washington, and we sold our home 4 years ago, calling us to a full-time traveling ministry. And then COVID, and we were like, what is this? And it was just like a really weird time. But I think when God calls you, like, it rarely goes the way you expect, and it's not usually easy. Right. And so, I don't know. I just love that the Bible says 365 times that do not fear. And our goal has been to just soak ourselves in the Word and in really good music like Switchfoot that offers hope and, just peace through the storms and the chaos of life. So one of my favorite quotes that I heard recently was this African pastor talking about process. And he was basically just saying that process, that when we're going through these trials and these processes, and oftentimes we're like, why does it have to be this hard? God is allowing our loyalty to be tested, right? The loyalty and the dedication that we have to our calling. And so that's been the season that we've been in for the past 4 years, is just like, how dedicated are we to this? Because it has not been easy. Like, it looks glamorous sometimes. Like, we have a pretty cool highlight reel, but the realities of living full time on the road is not romantic. Yeah. It's just a lot of hard work. So,
yeah, some bands, when they say they're out on the road, it's for a season. You guys are actually out on the road. That's pretty awesome.
Full time. Yeah, we don't get breaks. So,
well, there's nothing like music and, you know, getting to take what you create and, you know, bring it to different audiences and have different experiences. And the fact that, you know, you get to do it with your family is pretty amazing. You're also, yeah, I'm sure some of our listeners who have kids might be interested in those. So tell us about what you've created on the book side.
Yeah, I'm a published children's book author, and we have four books out now. Part of our travels, I go to elementary schools and do author readings, and it's just a really sweet time. Like, I'm not a salesperson at all, and I'm just so grateful that the books kind of sell themselves. So we've been really thrilled to be able to share our books all across the country and even send some out. But the themes in them are friendship and problem solving, working together. One of them's about helping around the house, and one of them is about patience. And they're geared towards children that are ages like 0 to 10. And they're just cute little stories. They're high-quality board books, so they're good for littles, you know, who like to be rough on things. But, yeah, it's been really fun. I didn't set out to be an author. That just kind of accidentally happened. I've been a songwriter for years. And one day when I was I homeschool our 5 kids, and we were homeschooling, we had this little owl sitting on the shelf, and this story just popped into my head. This story just popped into my head about a little owl that has trouble staying in bed. And so that was the inspiration for the first one. And by God's grace, some friends of ours who are actually from San Diego, they saw it and they were like, we really, really like this. They saw it on YouTube and they said, we want this in print. We want to give it to our grandkids and we want to be your investors. So they're our angel investors and helped us launch our first 1,000 books, and they sold out within a month. Wow. So yeah, it was pretty cool. So that was kind of the beginning of the journey. And then we've been able to just kind of slowly keep the ball rolling from there.
Yeah. I've got a 6 and a 4-year-old. So the one you said about patience is one I'm going to have to get for them.
Oh, I can relate. I wrote it for our daughter. So yeah, she has 4 little brothers. So she has to exercise a lot of patience. And the funny thing about patience is, you know, I've heard people say, well, I'm just not a patient person. And, you know, it's just funny when you think about the fruits of the spirit and, you know, everybody's like, walk by the fruits of the spirit. It's not like you feel like being patient. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, it's a choice that we have to make. And yeah. So anyways,
for sure,
that's a fun little story about being patient and having to apologize when you're not and stuff like that.
Yeah. So
they are rhyming stories. So I'll have to send them. I'll have to send you a couple.
Nice. Well, if you like music and you like writing and all the stuff you mentioned, I think it's only natural. I must be biased, of course, but it's only natural that Switchfoot has been an influence for you. You mentioned to me that, you know, they're one of your favorite bands of all time. And one thing I like to ask people on the show is, you know, can you even attempt to like put into words like the influence that they have had on your life and career?
Oh, man. It's crazy because it like brings me to tears. I wouldn't even say that they're one of my favorite bands. They are my favorite band. They're the top for me. I don't know why, but I feel such a connection to their writing and their music. And it's been the soundtrack for my life for the past 20 years. And my kids, they all love it too now. So I'm not sure that there really are accurate words when someone has had that much of an impact in you, it's really hard to put it to words. You know what I mean? Because yeah. I think God has given us an incredible gift in music and, you know, humankind giving us a gift of music, right? Like we connect in music in a way that like nothing else can really move the soul in a way that music can. And I just feel like with the creativity that God has given John Foreman and the guys, I don't know, it just cuts deep, and it's hit me in moments. My lowest of lows, it has been there, and my highest of highs, like it's my workout playlist. Like, I don't know. I can't express how much like their music has meant to me. And I just pray. I pray for an ounce of their creativity in my own music. And I'm very influenced by them lyrically, especially. My style is much more folk acoustic, which they have, you know, a bunch of that. But I don't know. I love them.
Yeah, I think they're the type of band that they have multiple songs per season of your life. It's just like,
right.
Those of us that have followed them for decades, and then also new listeners as well. And then they go back through their catalog and like, yeah, when I'm feeling this way, there's these five or six songs, and feeling this way, and there's these five or six songs. It's really incredible that they've been able to do that. Do you have a favorite album of theirs, or a favorite time seeing them live, or any favorites you want to mention?
Well, and what I love too, I wanted to mention that I love that their songs are timeless, right? Because the songs I was listening to as I was, because I first heard about them my senior year of high school, they're still meaningful to this day. Like, they don't sound dated to me. Maybe I'm just old, I don't know. But like I said, my kids love them. I have two teenagers, and we rock out to Switchfoot all the time. And so it's really hard to pick a favorite, but if I had to pick a favorite, I'd probably pick the Vice Versus album. I don't know. I think that it came out at such a pivotal season for me that it was life changing, and I love it. But I did want to mention that one of my funny memories of when I first heard about them, like I said, I was a senior in high school, and my youth pastor actually gave me the Beautiful Letdown CD. And he came out to the car one day, and he's like, I was like getting ready to leave, and I was listening to it in the car, and he's standing by the door, and he's like, I don't know what it is about him. He's like, but there's just something about the frog in the dude's throat. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, he just has such a unique voice. And the way he said it, like, we were both laughing, and we're like, yeah, there's something really special about these guys. And then, of course, I watched A Walk to Remember and, like, all this stuff, and just instant fan. And what's really neat, kind of full circle about that, is I got to go to my first Switchfoot concert in November. We were in LA, I think, and I'm trying to remember if it was San Diego or LA. I think it was LA, but it was the Beautiful Letdown reunion tour.
Yes.
And I just was like, I cried so many times during that concert, because I don't know, it's emotional. It's beautiful. It was so cool. I knew the words to every single song. My kids are looking at me like I'm crazy, because they haven't listened to the old stuff as much as I have. They've listened to all the newer stuff. And I don't know. It's pretty cool. Sorry. Yeah. I'm an emotional wreck. I have a really bad cold right now. We just came out of Joshua Tree. We spent a week out there shooting some music videos for an upcoming One Way Lane music project. And I'm just kind of in an emotional place. So sorry about that.
That's great. I was at that tour in Nashville, and I actually heard on a podcast about a month ago, comedian John Crist was there, because he lives in Nashville and he's a big Switchfoot fan. And he said on a separate podcast that he was crying his eyes out at that show. He's like, he's like, I had this hoodie on. I didn't want people to see me. And he was, that's how emotional he was. So, I mean, it hits all of us. It's pretty amazing.
Wow. That's so cool. I'm glad I'm not the only one. That's awesome.
So the song you covered, Let Your Love Be Strong, was, I believe it was the first of a group of like four songs that he, put out. A couple were on a solo records, a couple Switchfoot records. Kind of the same theme, Let Your Love Be Strong, Your Love Is Strong, Your Love Is a Song, Your Love Is Enough. I don't know if that's called it, the trilogies with three, but I don't know what four is called, but we'll just, the grouping of four. But this one that, I love how it was placed at the very end of the O Gravity album. This is just an incredible tune. You mentioned on your Instagram post, I think it was a little over 4 years ago, but you said that, these are weird times and makes a person really wonder, what's really going on and what really matters in our short time on earth. This song says it all for me, that all of my world is hanging on God's love. Do you remember what you were feeling or kind of going through in those moments that led you to do this tune?
Oh, man. Let me gather myself, because, I remember exactly the moments. I was on our bathroom floor singing that song, and this was days before we were selling our house and piling into an RV to go out into a world that was shutting down. It was very, very strange, because when we had felt God calling us to a full-time traveling ministry, it was in the fall of 2019, but it took us 6 months to finish remodeling our house. And by the time we put it up on the market, it was early 2020, and it had sold within a month, but everything kept getting pushed back because of COVID, and the sale of the house almost fell through. We had to when we were signing our papers on the house, we had to sit in the car because the offices wouldn't let people in. And it was just weird. And we were like, God, are you sure we're supposed to do this? Like, this is really scary. And cause we just didn't know who to believe and what to, you know, there's all kinds of stuff flowing through the airwaves and on the news and on social media. And it's like, what do you even believe? And I just remember I was sitting on our bathroom floor and crying out to God and saying, God, I'm going to trust you in this. And that was one of the last things we did in that house. And we ended up closing the doors on our house for the last time on Passover of 2020, which was really surreal. It felt like that was a sign for me that God was absolutely in it, because that was not our original closing date or anything. Like, it was Passover, and God was saying, okay, this is a marked beginning. And it was really interesting, because isn't it funny that when the Israelites leave Egypt, what do? They go and wander in the wilderness. And that's exactly what we did. We wandered in the wilderness. And during that time, we were like, God, why did you call us out here when every church venue is closed and every music venue is closed? And but looking back, we realized that was one of the best years of our lives. We have so many incredible memories from that and videos from that. We started a family vlog at that point because we weren't playing, you know, concerts and stuff. And it was just such an incredible season of God allowing us to learn how to live tiny on the road as a family of seven, and learning, you know, just kind of who we are as musicians and really trying to find our sound. And so I think God knew we needed that time. We went to so many national parks where we were like the only ones there. We were just like out in the wilderness. So so that song for me was just, it was so meaningful, because I love that it says, in this world of news, I've found nothing new. I found nothing pure. And it's like all the news that's coming through, I don't know. I don't know what any of this is, but ultimately our heart and our cry is to just find everything that we need in Christ. So God, let your love be strong enough. I don't care what goes down, but I'm going to trust you through all of this crazy that's happening. All of my world is hanging on your love.
Yeah. So good. It's incredible just to hear, you know, your journey and what you're going through, like in another example of how these songs just stay with us because of, you know, those kind of journeys that they take with us, you know. And this song has one of my favorite, like, bookend as far as like opening lyric and closing lyric. I mean, as you mentioned, in this world of news, I found nothing new. I mean, talk about the beginning of a story of a song. I feel like he was kind of carrying over his ecclesiastical thoughts from the previous album as he kind of got into it. And it's so true that, you know, all these years later from when he wrote this, maybe even more so, we are bombarded with news and ads and trends. And yet at times it's like, is anything new? Doesn't feel like much can renew my soul as far as what I'm being offered from what I see on TV and the ads and all that stuff. But, and then that closing of, I mean, just that absolutely incredible truth that all that I am is hanging on your love, all of my world resting on your love. Perfect way to end that album, and just a beautiful, beautiful song.
Yeah, I agree. It's one of my favorites. It's beautiful.
Also the line of, maybe I'm just idealistic to assume the truth could be fact informed, that love could be a verb. Maybe I'm just a little misinformed. That's one thing, you know, is one of my jobs is as a youth pastor myself. And I try to talk to the students all the time about love and faith are supposed to be verbs, you know, not just a belief or a feeling, you know, we're supposed to put action to it. And so I love that line in the song as well.
Yeah.
And I think about,
Oh, no, I was just going to say, I totally agree with you. And, I think one thing that that has been so special for me in connecting with their music is lines like when let the trucks roll in from Los Angeles and maybe our stars are unanimously tired. I don't know. I just feel like there's something unique about their melodies and the way they weave the words together that like oftentimes as I'm driving down the road and I feel like this connection to humanity, like we are in this struggle together. Like we're in this fallen world together. And I think a lot of people, like if they're not reading the Bible and they don't know, you know, kind of just like the history of the fallen man, like they might be confused as to like, why does everything rust? Why does everything break constantly? Yeah. Like, why is it so hard? And it's because of sin. Like sin has cursed the ground, you know? And, it's the world that we live in, but I think it's a beautiful connection, I think, to be in it together, if that makes sense. Like,
yeah,
our stars are unanimously tired. and there's something about that human connection with like, man, he really gets it. He so gets what I feel and he knows how to put it into words. And I don't know, it just helps when you're going through it. It helps, I think, to know that like someone's there with you.
For sure. Musically, I like how this one builds, you know, starts with the strumming and a little different pacing in the verses, and then really builds with Chad's drumming towards the middle of the song. And I'll have to ask John at some point which one is his wife's favorite at this point, because when he wrote this one, it said it was his wife's favorite, but she also was loving the song Daisy, and they named their first child Daisy. And so I'll have to ask if there's an update on that. But years ago, he wrote that it was his wife's favorite song, and then this one means a lot to him. And then he said that I wrote this one after a long walk in the early morning before the sun came up. I was sitting out by the train tracks halfway between the ocean and the freeway. When everything in your life falls apart, you begin to realize what's worth holding on to and who's got to hold on you. Let the world fall apart. All my life rests upon the love that created every breath I have been given.
Ooh, I got chills. That's amazing. Yeah. John said that?
Yep, that's what he wrote when this tune came out.
That's cool. That's beautiful. Wow.
I
love that guy.
Yeah. That part in that paragraph that he wrote, like, go ahead, let the world fall apart. Like I'm expecting that. I'm ready for that. You know, like, you know, some people out there who are saying that maybe they don't believe in a God because of the bad news and because of the fallen world. And it's like, that's what the scripture predicted and said would happen and will continue to happen.
Right.
And the fact that a believer can say like, I know that's going to happen. Let that fall, you know, let the world fall apart. All my life rests upon the love that created every breath I've been given.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. It reminds me of the apostle Paul, how he basically has said, you know, to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Like there's nothing that this world could take from me. There's nothing that this world could do to separate me from the love of my heavenly Father. And that's everything to me.
Yeah.
And, you know, he talks about the secret of being content, whether well-fed or hungry, and whether living in plenty or in want. Like, we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength.
Yeah. I was also thinking there may be some people that if they grew up in church or they've had any kind of faith, they've probably heard someone tell them, like, hey, God loves you, Jesus loves you. But to, like, actually accept it and believe that is something entirely different. And I feel like in the song, it's like he's coming to the conclusion that all that I am, hanging on your love, all my world resting on your love, like this beautiful reminder. So my question to you is, if you can think, you know, like in your life, how have you been able to do that through challenges, through all the stress and hard times that life brings? Like, what advice would you give to someone to live in such a way to just surrender and say that all that I got, all that I am resting on the love of God?
Wow. Well, I think of a Bible verse that comes from Haggai chapter 1. I have felt like this so many times. I'm just going to read a part of it. It says, you have sown much and you bring little. You eat, but you do not have enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe yourself, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put them into a bag with holes in them. And I don't know if you have ever felt like that, but I have felt like that so many times where it just feels like we were talking, like, why is it so hard? And he wraps up that verse with God saying, consider your ways. And he goes in and just talks about, like, I think the importance of us considering how we are living. And I think one of the most important things to do in this life to, like, overcome these struggles, and whether it's like temptation or whether it's financial, you know, struggle or parental struggle, like, because every parent struggles, or marriage struggles, relationships, like, whatever it is, I think we cannot underestimate the power of prayer. And I think to really, like, dive into God's word to figure out what it is to learn how to pray. I think, like, we're not necessarily it's not necessarily like just engraved in our minds, like, how to pray. I think we need to be taught how to pray. And Jesus teaches us how to pray through his word. So I would say, like, the top two things are prayer and reading his word, just soaking yourself in his word, because that is the firm foundation. Like, our feelings are so fickle and they will lead us astray. Our hearts will lead us astray. Like, if I based my life on how I'm feeling week to week, I would be a lost cause. But if I continually remind myself of who God says I am and what his word says, and I'm standing on these truths, right? Every week I'm reminding myself of these things. Every day, every hour, every minute, right? Like, I have to remind myself of the truth of his word, and not just my feelings. So, yeah, I would just say prayer and soaking yourself in God's word.
Yeah. Amen. Beautiful words. I'm really, you know, getting a chance to do this podcast. It's amazing to meet and talk with people from all over the world, and it gives me great joy to just see, like, you know, the influence that these guys have had, but also how that's, you know, turned into more than just like, oh, I like their music. It's so much more. There's so much that you're able to do and that is them and music, yeah. Music and faith, these incredible things that do bring humanity together. So,
well, I just have to interject. I love that you said that, because it reminded me of this thought that I have had multiple times. Like, so many times over the years, I have thought specifically about Switchfoot and how much their music has meant to me. And I've never met them personally. I've never been able to look them in the face and tell them thank you, that they've changed my life. And so in the times when I feel like my music isn't necessarily being heard, or like I don't know what impact it's had, I think of them and I think, I have to trust and know that, like, of course, I don't have nearly the reach that they have, but I have to know that, like, my life has meant something to someone, and the things that I'm doing, the creative things that I'm doing to try and bless people, they have been meaningful, and I'm not going to know the effects of that until the other side of eternity, right? Like, yeah. All of these things are these ripple effects, and I think as people, we tend to underestimate the value and the power that our life has. I think of the movie It's a Wonderful Life by Frank Capra. Have you seen that?
Yes, I have.
It's one of my favorite movies. And of course, at the end, he's able to see what his life would be, or what the world around him would be like if he were never in it, because he literally says, it would have been better if I was never born. And then he goes through his whole community and sees how incredibly effective he was. And he wasn't even necessarily winning the battle against evil, against Potter, or whatever his name is. But his very presence of him being there and pushing back the darkness made all the difference. He literally changed so many lives. And I have to cling to those kind of things in my own struggles and feeling like he sees, or nobody cares, or there's no point to what I'm doing and there's no value in it, and just give up. I'm just going to go move to a cabin in the middle of Montana and never see anybody again. And, you know, like, just hide away. And because that's, of course, the temptation. But I know that God has called us to so much more. And that's why we press in. That's why we keep going. That's why we keep pursuing the things that he's called us to. And so I would say whatever God has gifted you guys specifically to do, press into that. Don't give up on it, because you're not going to see the effects of it on this side of eternity.
Yeah. Once again, beautiful words. That's something I always try to help people understand as well, that whether they're, whatever they're doing, whether it's an artist or 9 to 5 or in school or whatever it is, you know, do it all with all your heart, is working for the Lord, not for men. Colossians 3:23, my favorite verse. So
yeah,
really great stuff. I appreciate you a ton for coming on, and hopefully if you if the RV ever makes it out to my way in the Midwest and Indiana, I would love to have you at the church and playing some music and hanging out. So where can we'll make sure to link to all these, but where can people find you online?
Yeah, thank you so much. We are actually headed out that way in a few months, so that'd be really fun.
Nice.
We have Instagram and YouTube under One Way Lane Music, and I also have my personal channel, Eric Corbin, where I have my children's books and stuff as well. So,
very cool. Well, thank you for the inspiration. Keep fighting the good fight. We look forward to following all of your endeavors here in the future, and glad that Switchfoot has been as big an influence on you as it has the rest of us as well.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me today. And thanks for what you're doing on the podcast. It's awesome.
In this world of news, I found nothing new. I found nothing pure. Just idealistic to assume that truth could be fact and form. The love could be a verb. Maybe I'm just a little misinformed. As the dead moon rises and the freeway sigh, but the trains watch over the tide and the mist spinning circles in our skies tonight. Let the trucks roll in from Los Angeles. Maybe our stars are unanimously tired. Let your love be strong, and I don't care what goes down. Let your love be strong enough to weather through the thundercloud. Fury and thunderclap like stealing the fire from your eyes. All of my world hanging on your love. Let the war. My strength.